This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I got John Hancock hanging out with me today, final hour. Chris yeah. Ranji on the Chris and Amy show. Amy is on vacation.
This is going to be our finest hour, to quote Winston Churchill.
Yes, I hope so. I hope it's something close to that. Well, we know that the economy has taken a little bit of hit. In particular, the stock markets in recent weeks, in the last couple of days, has not been, well, all that pretty. So to talk about it with us is the partner and managing director of One Private Wealth. He is the host of KMOX's Dollars and Cents. And Dave Simons, our guy, is with us on the guest line. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Chris. Hey, John.
Hey there. So how are we doing today?
Oh, we're only down a mere 600-plus points and still falling as we speak. So it's another rough day. As you know, Trump announcing additional tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum, everything. And so that's really what the market's fixated on. It's just singularly focused now on what's coming out of the White House.
So this is the question, because I know that I've heard you talk about this before, and I have always thought, I'm not an expert, but I've always thought that maybe we give the president too much credit or too much criticism for the economy. Are there any exceptions to that? Is it possible that a president can do something that makes a dramatic shift in what's going on economically?
Oh, absolutely, Chris. And you make a good point in that you're exactly right. Most of the time, presidents are given too much credit or too much blame because there are just economic factors that can be put in place years ago that are just starting to manifest themselves and affecting the president in place. But this is clearly because of the chaos that's occurring right now. And that's not a pro or anti-Trump comment at all. I'll leave politics to others to debate. This is strictly from an economic and market viewpoint here. And so Wall Street needs clarity. Wall Street thrives on clarity. Nobody has a perfect crystal ball, of course. But when you've got chaos theory, Wall Street doesn't know what to do with that. So it tends to sell first and then worry about what might come down the road. And right now, there is simply no clarity. And that's what you're getting with the stock market, a pretty good-sized sell-off.
You know, I came up through public education, so what do I know about tariffs? But what I do know about tariffs is that I don't like them. And it boggles my mind that anybody would think sweeping across the board tariffs is sound policy. What is driving the president who clearly has embraced tariffs, believes it's, you know, the soundest of economic policies, believes it's going to make America wealthy again? What does he know that I don't know?
Well, here's the deal with Donald Trump. He is a very savvy business guy, but he's not an economics guy. I mean, and by his own admission, and others around him will say that he doesn't really care to get steeped in the policy part of economics, and that what certain things look, there are tentacles that spread out of any decision that comes out of the White House that have a lot of unintended consequences. And I don't know that the Trump administration really thought through a lot of this. They're, you know, by their own admission, they're very nationalistic, make America great again, America first. And that's fine. But when you come in with a chainsaw and at the same time, really no defined plan other than we are going to put in a bunch of draconian tariffs because we don't like what other countries have been doing to us, and then not really have a defined plan or really even an end game. And that, John, that's what I would kind of ask as that rhetorical question, too. And that is, what is the end game here? Is it to get our trading partners to bend the knee and say, okay, enough? Because if that's the case, all of a sudden there seems to be more resolve from these other countries. So I don't know what the end game is. Wall Street doesn't know what the end game is. Therefore, we have this big correction.
Yeah, and you know, you're seeing all of this play out. You know, when we negotiate with Mexico and Canada, which President Trump did in his first term, they'll carve out a couple of industries where they want and feel the need to protect, and that's an agreement that we make. Everything else is free across the board, right? And so this rhetoric that they're, you know, killing us and taking advantage of us, that's all the product of negotiation.
It is, and I have no problem with targeted tariffs. There's no question that some countries have taken advantage of our insatiable appetite to consume. And that's really what this is all about. We are going to run trade deficits because we are the world's reserve currency, and nobody consumes goods and services like Americans. So there is no way that we're ever going to be able to produce everything that Americans need and want. So we are going to run trade deficits. That's just going to happen. And in some cases, does China take advantage of that? Yeah, they absolutely do. So I think it's okay that you look at certain one-offs and say, look, we're going to slap 10% tariff on that particular product. But this, even the top economists out there on the conservative side of things, who normally would be very supportive of a Republican administration, are left scratching their heads going, this is not the way to do it. And I don't understand this tit for a tat, because historically, any economic historian will tell you there's never any winners when it comes to a tariff war. In fact, the real losers are the people on Main Street, the mom and pops, the small business owners. And that's what we're suffering from right now.
It's us. We're going to lose here, it seems like. Dave Simons, financial expert, is with us on KMOX, again, the host of Dollars and Cents. And we've been talking a little bit about the stocks here, and the market has really not responded well to all of this tariff stuff. So some people listening will say, well, I don't own individual stocks. Why do I care? This isn't my problem. Why is the stock market, or why does the stock market affect people who don't necessarily own stocks, whether directly or indirectly?
Yeah, it gets into that tentacle thing, Chris, in that even if someone doesn't own stocks, they may go to the grocery store and see that prices are higher because of tariffs that have been put on certain agricultural products. They may go buy a car and say, wow, why is this car 15% higher? I don't know, because of all the steel and aluminum that goes into that. And if you also then have an economy that starts to weaken and you get job cuts, then that could also affect somebody who has a job in one of these industries, may not have a dollar in the stock market, but this economy, this multi-trillion dollar economy, is so connected that's why economists will tell you that there really is no ultimate winner when you get into this kind of a draconian tit-for-tat tariff war. It affects virtually everybody ultimately. Now, I know that I sound like there's a little bit, I'm kind of on my high horse and I'm very worried and I'm not too happy about this. Yeah, there's some truth to that. But I also believe there is something that's going to, I'm not overly bearish. Let me put it this way. I think at some point, people in the administration start to pull back once they see the pain. And I'm not predicting a major crash in the market. This isn't 2008 again, I don't think. That's my opinion. But I think we could still see some weakness here in the near term.
Yeah, so that's what they keep saying. The line is temporary pain, and then we're just going to have to get past this. And then on the other side of it, everything will be better. And Donald Trump the other day said, we're going to have so much money, we won't even know how to spend it as a result of all this. First of all, what does temporary pain mean? Because that's right. Great if you're a billionaire, whatever, temporary pain. But if you're an average person who loses their job, that's not great. You got to go find a new job. So what does temporary pain mean? And then ideally, what is the payoff for it?
Yeah, nobody knows what temporary means, of course. I have no idea. Nobody does how much more of this we have to have. Look, we have to look at the person of Donald Trump, at least what most of us know from a distance. We don't know him personally. But I think there's a pretty good track record and public persona record of the kind of way that he likes to manage. And he does not like to lose. He's never going to ever take the knee to anybody. So I think maybe what is surprising him, frankly, is that some of the other countries have decided, no, we're done with this. We are going to retaliate. And let me tell you something. When you look at the stock markets of other countries right now, like in Europe, they are up double digits year to date. China's stock market has been doing better. It's almost like make Europe great again is what's happening. As these countries have rallied around each other, we're seeing that in Canada, of course, where you have liquor stores saying we're not going to even put American lager in our stores anymore. And I don't know how long that goes, but that's the unintended consequences that, frankly, I'm not sure Donald Trump really put in his calculus in this. So what is the end game? I think at some point he's going to have to pull back from this, find a way that he can still declare himself a winner in all this. I'm not sure how he's going to do it. But that's the only way that this pain finally stops, and I hope it's sooner rather than later.
Dave Simons is our guest. He's the host of the Dollars and Cents show, heard here on KMOX. Dave, you mentioned earlier trade deficits and the balance of payments between how much we import versus how much we export. That's a big deal for President Trump. I've never considered the balance of payments to be something that really mattered. Is that accurate?
It is 100% accurate. I write a weekly commentary that goes out every Friday, and that's exactly one of the themes I had in last week's commentary. And I showed that what the tariffs that we put on other countries has been historically low for decades. And yet, during that time, we continue to emerge as the global economic superpower with low tariffs, with running trade deficits with more than 100 countries. I think that surprises people. It's not just a few select countries in Europe or Canada or China. Most countries that we do business with, we run a deficit with. There aren't very many countries that we actually have a surplus. And yet, despite that, that's supposed to be so horrible and terrible, we continue to take more global economic market share. So this is really disrupting the total global economic order that we've been used to for a couple of decades. And if you're asking me how this thing is going to end, I have no idea. The market doesn't either. And that's why it's selling off, because it has no clarity here.
You raised a great point earlier about our behavior as Americans, that we consume as much as we possibly can, and we want it as cheap as possible. So that is directly at odds with, well, we need to make everything here in America. And how do you get people to understand that? Because I think the people who are in business and who those who are executives, they know this. People with money know this. How do you get the average American to understand that? That, yes, we could be doing better in the trade deficit area if we stopped consuming so much and didn't demand everything be as cheap as possible.
Well, that's exactly right, Chris. And I don't know how you necessarily educate a lot of people on that other than to say, look, when a car is made, especially when there's trade between Canada and the U.S., there are some parts that go back and forth 6, 7, 8 times.
Yep.
And back and forth and back and forth. You just can't stop that. Now, look, I'm all for bringing manufacturing jobs here. We're all pro-American, right? We all want us to have more jobs to thrive. But the reality is, because we like to insatiably consume at cheap prices, you're going to have to turn the U.S. economy upside down and pay lower wages to try to keep those prices down. And so there's been a very fine balance. Let free market principles work. And they've worked just fine. Now, yes, if a country is taking advantage of us, and like I already pointed, China is maybe the worst culprit, then you can do selective tariffs. There's no question. But if you're running a deficit with Canada, because that's the way the economic system works best, I don't understand this whole thing like, well, that's not fair. And so we're going to stop this. And we're only doing this because of the fentanyl traffic. I'm getting off topic there, but that's the thing that troubles me, because this isn't really about economics. This is about settling scores to some degree that has nothing to do with economics. So I keep saying I don't know what the end game is, because I don't know where else we go from here, and the market is going to continue to weaken until we do get to some kind of settlement on Trump is finally satisfied. We've seen enough pain. This is where we're going to end. I do believe, I'm an optimist by heart. I do believe there are negotiations going on behind the scenes between various people within central banks and governments that's going to finally pull us back from the brink of something more ominous. Because if not, and I hate to end like this, but if not, we have a potential Smoot-Hawley type tariff. Yeah. And I'll let others fill in the blank what that means.
Yeah, you know, and of all the points you've made, excellent points you made today, the one that's stuck with me is the way out of this is to find a mechanism for President Trump to claim victory and yes. get off the tariffs. And I don't know what that looks like either. Last thing, real quick. When we tax these goods that are coming over, you're going to get fewer of them. Now, that's just a basic law of economics. If you want less of something, tax it. Right. And so that means the demand's going to be there. And so that's going to be inflationary inherently in and of itself. But it also then, when the cost of foreign goods now exceeds what we're able to charge for American products, the American business who's in the business of making profit is going to raise their prices too, just below the level of that foreign import. And so this thing is going to potentially have a pretty severe inflationary effect, isn't it?
It is. Again, economic history points that out. John, I think what finally might bring this to some sort of settlement would be this, where you have people huge donors, let's say, the wealthy Republican GOP types who are totally on board with what's going on, who are big-time Trump supporters. That's not going to change. But they get his ear and they say, look, Mr. President, America's kind of hurting right now. And my business, I'm not hiring right now. I want to expand, but I'm not going to until I have clarity. Again, this is the unintended consequence part, the tentacles that are spread through this very connected trillion-dollar economy. And so as big business sits back and doesn't do anything and doesn't expand and also worried about inflation, it's going to take influential business types, Wall Street types, to get the ear of the White House to say, we need to settle this. We need to pull this back because otherwise I don't see a real end to this. I think it's going to happen. I think it may already be happening, but that's what it's going to take to stop this.
Dave Simons, the host of Dollars and Cents here on KMOX, a partner and managing director of One Private Health. As always, we appreciate your help. Thank you for being with us today, Dave.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, John, as always.
This is Dave Simons joining us here on KMOX. I got John Hancock with me. I'm Chris Ranji. We need you to listen in until the end of the hour. We're going to be here with you until 1 o'clock on KMOX. John, would you say you're the most St. Louis person in St. Louis?
You know I might be.
Okay. Well, you can't win this.
No.
We are asking people to tweet at us or text into the show, 314-436-7900, or tweet at us at Chris Amy KMOX.
What's the criteria on this?
Well, you just have to tell us why you believe you are the most St. Louis. Well, what about you is so St. Louis? Why are you more St. Louis than everybody else? And the reason we're doing this is Friday is 314 day.
It's your birthday.
It is my birthday. So 314 day, tell us why you are so St. Louis. The winner will get absolutely nothing, like all of our other contests. Like our no-prize pick'em.
Been that way for years.
Oh, dude, our no-prize pick'em challenge, the football thing we do every Friday during the season, no prize.
No prize.
Yeah, you don't get anything for it. We do give away tickets every now and then, concerts, sports.
But you don't win them. You give them away.
Give them away. Mm-hmm. This is something you have to win, and really all you're winning is pride.
But there's no criteria for what constitutes
You have to convince us. And then we'll decide, okay, that's pretty St.
Louis.
Seems
like there ought to be a criteria.
Yeah, 314-436-7900 to text us. Well, the criteria is just whatever we decide. And you can leave us a voice message, too, on the Odyssey app. Tell us why you're so St. Louis. Or tweet at us at ChrisAmyKMOX. I got John Hancock with me for another half hour. So if you have anything you want to tell us, you better hurry up and get it in. We'll be back right after the news on KMOX.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
President Trump spent last week defending our historical best friend, Russia. Trump turned this week to attacking our sworn enemy, Canada.
More Canadian tariffs? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, steel and aluminum.
Steel and aluminum.
25 to 50% tariff.
We're hoping to get in touch with Scott Lincecum, who we have spoken to in the past about the economy. And and he has taken a position on steel. And he seems to think, and I want to make sure that I'm getting it right, that maybe we are investing too much energy as a country in trying to keep the steel industry afloat.
Well, there's a
because so, it's not to, his argument is that it's not a big enough part of the GDP to be doing this. So I don't I mean, clearly, I have a personal attachment to a steel city in Granite City that I want it to do well. But I would, I'm curious to know what his idea is on it.
I think the rationale for steel tariffs is a national security one, in that you've got to, and my problem with steel imports isn't Canada, it's China. China's our enemy. We've felt for a long time that China was our competitor, and in a sense they are economically, but they're a geopolitical enemy of ours, and they've been working for decades now to build up consumers for their products that aren't necessarily in America.
Yeah.
And so importing steel, which you have to have to produce the weapons of war from China, doesn't make much sense. I think importing our drugs from China doesn't make sense. But all the more reason to have alliances. And alliances, not just military alliances, but trade alliances, they're good for the country. They keep us safer.
Yeah. John Hancock is with me, Chris Ranji, today. And we'll hopefully talk to Scott Linscombe at some point about all of that. I wanted to remind people, this is completely out of nowhere, but I wanted to remind you that opening day is coming up March 27th. The Cardinals will open the season against the Twins. So it's an afternoon game, and we always have kegs and eggs. It is a KMOX tradition, and we're doing it again this year. But we have added an event that happens before kegs and eggs. You ready for this, John?
I'm ready.
You love the 1985 National League Championship team, don't you?
I do.
Well, Vince Coleman will be in attendance with us at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village, starting at 8 o'clock. It goes from 8 until 10:30 for the first pitch breakfast, where he will tell stories. Tom Ackerman is going to be there and is going to facilitate the whole thing. And he's going to be, Vince will tell off-air stories. We're not broadcasting this. So you're going to get some good stuff. You're going to get the inside stuff, what was going on with that 1985
team. That's probably before your time, right?
No, that was the first baseball team that I really remember.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, like, I kind of remember 82. People were excited about it, but I was 5.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was totally aware of what was happening. But 85, I was aware of what was going on.
That was a good team. And I'll tell you, that team, the bullpen on that team was just incredible. It was the best bull of all the Whitey era. It was even better than the bullpen they had with Suter in 82, in my opinion. Worrell on the back end. You had Ken Daly, who was almost unhittable that year from the left side. And it was a great bullpen.
That team was so much better than the Royals.
Oh.
So much better.
I mean, not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
So the first pitch breakfast starts at 8 o'clock. Tickets for this. It is a ticketed event. And it's actually a table event. So you buy a table.
Yeah.
So tables for 2, 4, 5, 6, 8. They're all going to sell out. And I actually right now at this point don't even know how many of them are left. But if you want a table, for example, a table for 2 is 120. There's food. There's a breakfast buffet, bottomless mimosas, Bloody Marys, Budweiser. You'll get a draft beer and a commemorative mug. You'll get to hear Vince Coleman tell stories about the 80s Cardinals. So it's such a great thing.
85 was the TARP incident, right?
Yes, it was. So right before the playoffs.
Tito Landrum ends up starting in left field.
That's right. Yeah. So KMOX.com/events. Tickets are going to sell out for this one, so get on it. Also, kegs and eggs will happen right after. And again, I need to make this clear. These are two separate ticketed events. Kegs and eggs starts at 11 o'clock. It goes until 2. It's at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village, just like the first pitch breakfast. And if you're wondering, we are indoors this time. Usually we're out on the street outside Ballpark Village. We're going to be inside Cardinals Nation, inside Ballpark Village. There are general admission tickets, which I believe the standing room only tickets are gone. Is that correct? I don't know. You can check. Go to kmox.com/events.
It's a great event.
You can also buy a table for that, too. There are different pricing structures. So brunch buffet. There will be eggs at Kegs and Eggs this year. Normally, there's not. But we are actually going to have eggs this year. Anheuser-Busch draft beer. We've got the buffet, as I mentioned, select mixed drinks. So if you want to be part of Kegs and Eggs this year, or the first pitch breakfast, or both, KMOX.com/events.
Are we running a team of Clydesdales through that place?
Yeah, they're going to be indoors. The Clydesdales have actually, they got a table for 10.
Nice.
So they're all going to...
That's 40 legs right there.
That's a lot of legs.
That's a lot of Clydesdale legs. They've got some nice looking hooves.
Man, those horses are impressive.
They are.
So the St. Louis County unveiled a new flag today.
That's what I hear.
I didn't know what the old flag looked like.
It was a plow.
What?
It had a plow on it. I think that thing was a plow, wasn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah. It looks like a plow.
Yeah, I think it was a plow. And the plow is gone. Huh.
What? Well, St. Louis County flag used to be a plow?
It was a plow.
Yeah, well, now it looks like a fleur-de-lis.
Oh.
It's like part of the fleur-de-lis.
It's like a
zoomed-in version. Well, yeah, I mean, but it's also a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, because we got the French, you know.
You got the French people.
They moved in back in the day.
Down in Soulard.
Old Pierre Chouteau.
That's right.
Actually, Chouteau.
And Pierre Laclede.
Yeah, all of those guys were France.
That's right.
We've got a lot of French going around here.
Did you know what we celebrated yesterday, John? You're a history person, so I feel like you should know.
Let's see, March the 10th.
March 10th. What happens March 9th? Through the 10th in St. Louis.
Oh, Mardi Gras.
No.
It's President's Day.
No.
It's the... Well, I know it's not the 4th of July.
John, yeah. It was Three Flags Day.
Oh, the old Three Flags Day.
Do you know about the Three Flags Day?
Well, I worked at Six Flags, so I...
Oh, my God. I thought of all people. Didn't you think John would know about Three Flags Day?
I've never heard about the
I'm
Three
disappointed.
Flags. What are the Three Flags?
Well, John, thank you for asking.
All right.
But that was the ceremony that took place over a two-day period where the territory, the Louisiana Purchase, this area, was under Spanish control, flying the flag of Spain. They brought that down. They raised the French flag for a day.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled that down, and then they put up the U.S. flag.
How about that?
The American flag.
I did not know that.
It's called Three Flags Day.
Now it makes perfect sense.
Because Spain handed over control to the French, who handed over control to us.
That was in 1803, if memory serves.
1804.
Huh. Are you sure?
I think it was 1804.
I think it was 1803 because...
Well, there was one in New Orleans in December of 1803.
Because the World's Fair in St. Louis was supposed to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Louisiana Purchase, and it was supposed to open in 1903. So I want to say the Louisiana Purchase occurred in 1803.
Well, that's the purchase occurred in 1803.
Oh, okay.
The ceremony was in 1804.
Fine. It's kind of like the World's Fair here.
Yeah. So we had Peter Castor with Washington University, who is in case anybody needs the foremost expert on the Louisiana Purchase here in St. Louis, find Peter Castor. He'll tell you all about it. And
nice.
He was talking about how they did the ceremony. They did one in New Orleans. A very similar ceremony, and then they were told to travel upriver, get to this area, to the outpost, and do it here. But because it was winter time, it was all icy and they couldn't travel, so they had to wait until March.
There it is.
I think that stuff is so fascinating.
It is
boring.
Okay, well, see. I think it's fascinating.
Well, that's good, Raj. That's good.
How could you? You're not very St. Louis if you don't like that story, I'll tell you that much.
Well, that could well be.
We did ask somebody, or we've asked all of you to tell us why you are the most St. Louis.
Have we got any takers yet?
Well, here's one. Uh-huh. A guy texted in. His name is Ralph. He says, okay. I'm so St. Louis. My last name is St. Louis, raised in St. Louis, and I went to St. Louis University.
Huh.
That's pretty St. Louis.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But how does he say the highway numbers?
Well, I don't know. That's just
if you're really St. Louis and you've got that accent, you know, the farty.
Yeah.
The proper St. Louis way to say the Southern Highway is farty 4.
Farty 4, but farty, not farty far.
No, it's correct. It's farty 4. That's when you know you're really St. Louis.
Why do people here say warsh?
It's just, you know, a lot of the folks, my people were hillbillies, and so, you know, it's kind of a hillbilly kind of thing.
Yeah, but why? My look, my family too.
Yeah.
Well, my dad's side mostly.
Yeah, but we were literal hillbillies, like living in the Ozark Hills, and yeah.
Oh man, my people, Poplar Bluff.
Oh,
and Bon Terre.
Yeah. No, you're right down there.
There is a Ronji Street in Bon Terre, Missouri.
Nice. Good old Bon.
It's real short too. It's like, which makes sense. It's a short street, and I think it's maybe like a block long.
So, have you done the genealogy to figure out which of your relatives was?
So there was a. I swear to God, there was a Pierre Ronji.
Uh huh.
And this is so. My name is spelled R O N G E Y,
but it would be Ronge.
In France, it's spelled like Ranger.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So the story goes that when they came here, when they settled over in that area, they purchased land, and they couldn't write in English,
sure.
And so whoever filled out their paperwork or whatever spelled it the way it sounded to him.
Yeah.
So that's how it got to be
Ronge.
R-O-N-G-E-Y.
Yeah. Now that was fascinating. How about that, Pete? You're learning something, aren't you?
That was all right.
That is my... That's not a bad... Hey.
I like the Three Flags Day better than that one.
Well, Three Flags Day is interesting. You don't think it is?
It's more interesting than Ronji Street.
I like Ronji Street.
I like them both equally.
Ronji.
James, what do you think?
James trying not to listen. That's the hardest part of that job. He has to listen to this thing for 3 hours.
John Hancock and Chris Ronji on the Chris and Amy Show here on KMOX. John Hancock in for Amy Marks Kors today. I'm Chris Ronji. Tomorrow, Brad Young is going to sit in with me.
Nice.
Mike Elam on Thursday.
Great.
Short shows tomorrow and a shorter one on Thursday. Tomorrow we got Cardinals baseball. We're going to play a little spring training action for you, which will get started just after 12. So we got a shorter show tomorrow. And then on Thursday, SLU basketball, their first game in the A-10 tournament. That'll be at 1, which means our pregame show is at 12:45.
Mizzou's limping into this thing, aren't they?
Kind of sounds like it.
You know, and I had my hopes up there, beating all those top five teams, and it looked really good. That Alabama game was amazing. But since then,
yeah,
it's not going well.
We'll see what happens here. But
yep.
I still think they have an opportunity to really be noisy.
Yeah.
When the NCAA tournament starts.
I sure hope so.
Selection Sunday is this Sunday. If you're into that sort of thing, you'll get to find out where Mizzou's going to play, where Illinois will play.
Mm-hmm.
If SLU ends up winning their conference tournament, possible.
That's the only way they get in, right?
It is, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that happens. And you'll find out where SIUE is going to play. They could be a first four team. They could play on Thursday. They could play on Friday. So really could be anywhere from Tuesday to Friday next week.
Sweet.
John Hancock, a text message came in. We were just talking about St. Louis County adopting a new flag.
Yeah.
They unveiled it today.
Mm-hmm.
And a texter says, guess what everyone on the internet thinks the new St. Louis County flag looks like?
I mean, it's not good.
It kind of does look like what you think it does. You might have to stretch your imagination a little bit, but it does sort of look like, you know. A private park.
They could have done better. Look, I'm no fan of the plow. I thought the plow was kind of...
The plow looks stupid.
Janky.
Yeah.
But they certainly could have done better than that.
I feel like people are always going to complain about new designs for anything.
No, I don't, you know, not necessarily.
Now, for example, let me tell you about my people over in Illinois. I am hugely disappointed in Illinoisans.
For not changing the flag.
For not changing the flag. Mm-hmm. There were 10... finalist designs for a new state flag. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't seen the Illinois state flag, look it up. It's just boring.
There's not much going on.
It sucks. It just sucks. It's a white flag with an American eagle in the middle and some stars. Ugh. Come on, we could have done better. There were some really good designs, and overwhelmingly, people in the state, there were 385,000 votes for the new flag, and the largest share by a mile of votes went to the old flag.
Mm.
So here's this opportunity to change it up and come up with something
cool.
I
guess you could only vote for one, right? So
yeah.
Now the old flag didn't get anywhere near a majority of the votes, or did it?
No, it got a plurality, so 43%.
Right. Oh, that's pretty. Okay.
That's huge when there were 1, 2, 3, there were 10 other flags.
Yep.
People just hate change.
Well, people need to have an appreciation for the arts, you know?
Yes.
An eye to the pleasing visual that could be. The Missouri flag, a phenomenal flag. You got the bears on there.
It's fine.
It's a great flag.
It's a fine flag.
It's a one. St. Louis City.
It does
City.
Have bears on it.
St. Louis City.
St. Louis City has a great flag.
Classic. Got the rivers there.
Yeah.
Running right up there.
It is one of the great city flags in the country.
It is. So St. Louis County did well to make a change. But what they've gone with here is, shall I say, very disappointing.
Let's talk to Willie in Overland. What's up, Willie?
Hey, Willie.
Well, I got two things about St. Louis. I'll be quick. I'm trying to collect the last 10 World Series starting players on baseball cards, and it's getting expensive, believe it or not, with all those Hall of Famers and such. The second thing is, have you got the brand new St. Louis Yellow Pages yet delivered?
No.
I just got one today. It's the Yellow Pages in St. Louis. It's a list of all the businesses that are afraid they're going to get broken into.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
That was a rough.
Yeah, we appreciate your calls.
Because, we don't have the Yellow Pages anymore.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that, right?
I think the last year, and I remember it vividly because I went, there's
the
Yellow Pages? It was 2008.
Oh, okay.
That was the last physical Yellow Pages I saw.
Huh. Man.
The internet is so great, by the way, if you want to look up a phone number.
Is that right?
It's awesome.
Yeah, it does work.
The internet is such an invention.
I used to be able to, if I called a number more than 2 or 3 times.
You could remember it?
Forever. Until here recently.
Do you remember, off the top of your head, you know any phone numbers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All my kids, my wife, I know my home phone number from when I was 7. Yeah.
I think I remember, I have a phone number in my head, which was my, childhood. I guess I was there through high school and then into college, the house that my parents lived in.
Yeah.
I think I remember that house number. I remember my mom's cell number. That's it. I know mine.
Jackson,
I don't know anything else.
Jackson 28450. That was my number when I was a kid. That's back when you used the letters on the dial thing.
You could still do that.
You could. But they did it back then.
You can watch the show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And we have a YouTube question from Chris.
Yeah.
Who wants to know if it was 82 or 85 when the Wizard hit the home run.
That was against the Dodgers.
Yeah, go crazy, folks. Yep. Was in 1985
off of Tom Niedenfuhr.
And how about that poor bastard?
Yeah, and then he gave it up to Jack Clark.
Yeah. Oh.
And then I think he ultimately ended up and pitched for the Cardinals for half a cup of coffee.
Did he?
I think so. Often wrong, but never in doubt. That's my motto.
I love hanging out with you, man.
It's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you for doing it. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you on... I won't. I won't be here Friday, but...
All right. I'm looking up Tom Niedenfuhr.
All right, let me know. Get back to me. John Hancock, you're the best. I'm Chris Ranji. Brad Young will sit in with me tomorrow. We're going to get started at 10. Anything you missed is free on the Odyssey app. And don't forget... We're going to be on 104.1 FM starting March 24th. It's a Monday. Up until then, we're with you here on 1120 AM and the free Odyssey app.
If I bring my paddle in here, you will look at it and you'll say, wow, that's the finest looking pickleball paddle I've ever seen in my life.